At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
And we are back. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Just Interesting podcast. Core, it has been a while. And that's an understatement, to be honest. So apologies for the delay in getting this one and the many others that were owed to you out. All I can say is it was all Robin's fault and I blame him entirely.
Yeah. Octoplates are difficult.
I don't know what to tell you, but
news to me.
I'm gonna put all of the blame on Robin, and we can just move. We can accept that, Martin, right, and then move on. Yeah,
I think so.
I think
it's a reasonable thing to do. Yeah.
Okay.
I take the blame.
No, but fellas, seriously, how have you both been? This is genuinely like the first time I've even spoken to either of you
in months. Yeah.
Except for like a few messages here and there.
Yeah, the odd message, the odd dick pic, but other than that, it's been nothing. Yeah. Total silence.
Is this late enough for you guys, though?
Is this late enough in the episode to say that word and it not to be...
Good question.
You know.
Definitely not, Martin. Yes, definitely not.
No.
But let's carry on.
Sorry, guys. About a big return has already been suppressed by YouTube. Just going to keep going. What else can I say to tick off the algorithm?
Well, it's okay because I need to introduce this topic and I think that will do the job anyway, which is we're going to be discussing all the news surrounding Jeffrey Epstein over the last few months that we missed, because it feels like there was actually quite a few stories that came out over the last few months. The UK ambassador to the US, Peter Mandelson, was... you know, obviously implicated with all the Jeffrey Epstein stuff. And that led to him getting a very embarrassing situation for the UK government, at the very least. And we've had...
Yeah, sacked in the 90s, sacked in the noughties. Who would have thought he would be... What the chances? Sacked in the teens. What were we in, 2025?
2020s.
The 20s. Yeah.
And we've also had, if you go onto any kind of like post about politics at all over the last few months, if you look in the comments, you just see release the Epstein files, release the Epstein files, release the Epstein files. And even today, there was a new breaking news story about Prince Andrew and Jeffrey Epstein. So there's a smorgasbord of stories for us to talk about. And that's what we're going to be getting to today. Before we get into that, fellas, look, how are we going to explain what happened over the last few months? Do we need to?
What happened? You've moved house, haven't you, Alex?
Yeah.
You've moved city.
I've moved city, even though my background basically looks the exact same as it did the time I left.
I will confess, if it weren't for the absence of a door behind you, I would have thought, you know, well done. You've moved home. You're not just geographically relocated. You've actually taken your home comfortable setup and recreated it perfectly. So well done. Congratulations. That's an achievement. Yeah. I mean, Martin's, how many state lines did you have to cross?
Oh, only a few. I drove on the wrong side of the road for the first time ever, actually, in Florida, which is a mental place to drive at the best of times. So I did that. I was out at the US Open, working across the US Open tennis in New York. It's been a busy old time of it, as it has been for everyone. Robin, you've been in Germany, haven't you? You can talk a little bit about that if you want to.
Yeah. Well, I've been in the great privilege of now having a job where I get to travel for work a little bit. Not as excitingly as you do, Martin, but I do get to travel a little bit.
Well, to be fair, you saw probably more outside of a media centre than I did when I was away. So.
Oh, right. Yeah, of course. Yeah. No, I did get to do that. It's cool, but crazy summer for work. Obviously, still adapting to be a parent. I don't know how you do it, Martin. Alex had to move. It's actually all three of us just have really, really busy lives. I don't know what it is. A certain age, life is suddenly like, oh, you're old enough now. You don't need to have fun. You just have to get on with surviving. And that's the way it's been. It's boring, folks. Sorry. That's the update, really. We've been trying, right? to get stuff done. We still have these long gestating plans for other content, not just the podcast, but like stuff on our second channel, Uncovered. So eventually do some game streams. I think I've got 3 unfinished games that I started to stream live in the past few years and haven't done. So I will come back around to those eventually. Well,
I didn't actually speak to you guys about this, but I was thinking we should definitely do a live podcast for Halloween. Our Halloween streams.
Oh, yes. Oh,
that's this month. I don't know.
It is, yeah. Halloween. Oh. Yeah.
Pumpkins.
For those of you listening to the audio version of the podcast, Martin just showed his pumpkins to the camera.
Yeah.
One in each hand.
Exactly. Yeah. Homegrown as well. So
that's what they say.
Better. Even better. Yeah, I think, I don't know about you guys, I feel revitalized, renewed, and coming back with a vigor that perhaps wasn't there a few months ago. So, you know, they say, what do they say? A rest is as good as a break. They don't say that. They say something along those lines.
Rest is as good as a break.
That's something that isn't said.
And a pint is as good as 565 milliliters of beer.
As good as a break.
5, 6, 8.
Martin, yes. 2025.
A dozen's as good as 12, yeah. That's
right. No, but what I want to say is that I don't, I feel well up for it, is what I'm trying to say. Well up for a podcast or two.
That's what you like to hear.
That's the spirit. Yeah.
And for those of you who are watching this in the YouTube comments, who have come back to the channel after all this time, I guess I would just like to say a massive thank you. Thank you for putting up with us over the last few months, our inactivity. And let us know if there's any particular topics that you think that we should cover. Let us know in the comments down below or on whatever platform you're streaming this on, I suppose we should say. Before we jump into the main topic, guys, it's been several months. You better have some crazy good fact for me. Martin, I'm going to go to you first. What have you got
about what I learned this week? Well,
an interesting
I
fact.
I learned about it's a short story, really.
Oh, okay.
But it's about a man you might have heard of, but I hadn't. He's called Juan Puyol Garcia. And he was a Spanish spy during World War II. And the fun fact about him is that he is, as far as I know, the only person during World War II to receive awards from both sides, from Germany and from Great Britain. He earned let me just get this right. He earned the Iron Cross and the Order of the British Empire during World War II for the work that he did spying on both sides. He was that convincing to the Germans that they rewarded him with such a high honor.
And so he was a spy for us.
So he was a
spy. Okay. He was a double agent. A double agent who was spying on behalf of Britain, but the Germans thought he was so good at spying for them that they awarded him a really, really high commendation. And how he went about that was partly because people weren't keeping a good enough eye on him in terms of what he was doing, but also he made up a network of fake junior personas working under him. So if anything went wrong, he would blame it on the fake junior persona, say, oh, we've got rid of them. They're out of the business. You know, they're no longer spying on behalf of Nazi Germany. Don't worry, I've dealt with them. And the Nazis lapped it up. So he created this identity as a fanatical pro-Nazi government official, going to London, spying on behalf of the Nazis and bringing back false information. Yeah, so he had all these sub-agents underneath him that he would blame things on when they went awry. But one of the things that he did do that was one of the most, I guess, effective pieces was around the invasion of Normandy and Operation Fortitude and Overlord as well. And so what he did was sent over 500 radio messages between January 1944 and D-Day, telling people basically that the Allies were going to be landing at Calais through the Strait of Dover, as opposed to, of course, Normandy. And this allowed then the Normandy invasions to happen with a lot less fortified strongholds on the coast that would have been in place if they had known that it was going to come through Normandy. So he had a really big say in you know, turning the tide of the war and making that operation a success. So I learned a little bit about him. Puyol.
Amazing. Wow. What a story.
Cool. Juan Puyol Garcia, Spanish bloke.
And I was worried where that was going. I thought he was just like an opportunist. He was playing both sides. Playing both sides. So he always comes out on top.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, the British, initially the British rejected him. They didn't want him until he started to give them basically good information around a fictitious convoy. The Germans were putting in a whole load of resource into this convoy that was going through,
right.
I believe in France, and he gave so much information and wasted so many Nazi German resources on identifying this convoy that didn't exist. The British were like, okay, this guy has a bit of a gift of the gab and is able to spy for us. So yeah, he was initially rejected, but then reaccepted later on down the line.
Nice.
Sweet.
Oh, that's very cool. Very cool. Thanks for that fact, Martin.
No worries. Robin,
what do you bring to the table?
Oh, hopefully it's an interesting fact. But I was learning about good old Charles I of England and Scotland and Wales and Ireland, I think, at the time. I think he had all four nations in his pocket. And there's Stuart King, I think the second king of Britain to rule Scotland and England. And obviously, he died under controversial circumstances. He was not the most popular king upon the end of his reign, because he was the king who's responsible for the whole civil wars in England. And Oliver Cromwell, sworn enemy, all that stuff. And so I learned this week, and this is true, actually, I did learn this week, like yesterday, that he's buried in St. George's Chapel in Windsor Castle. But he didn't have a funeral, and there's no record of his burial in St. George's Chapel either. The record of his burial is in the registry of the parish church in the town, and nobody knows why. So there's a kind of conspiracy theory that there was a funeral service held in the church because as he was executed as a traitor, and the parliamentarians were the winners, and they hated him, and they didn't want him to be martyred or anything because he was the head of the Church of England, and he was also strong sympathies for the Catholics. His wife was Catholic, so the Catholics kind of loved him, and they're like, he's a saint. He's been killed by those evil Protestants. So they really didn't want to celebrate him at all because as far as they were concerned, he was terrible. And in fact, I learned when they took his coffin, which is just a plain, boring coffin, to St. George's Chapel inside Windsor Castle, it was carried by some noblemen. Mm. And when there was a priest, the Bishop of London actually, was going with them, and all he wanted to do was say a prayer over the body when they buried it. But the guards, the parliamentarians, stopped him. They blocked the priest, said, the Bishop of London, like, you can't come in. And they let the men carry the coffin in, shoved it in a vault with some other royalty, and just left it there, basically an unmarked grave.
Wow.
So brutal. There you go. And they only buried him in Windsor Castle as a kind of compromise, because there were enough people who said, you can't just dump the king's body anonymously. You've got to give him a decent burial. Mm. So they said, oh, fine, we'll bury him in Windsor Castle. And then they just like, don't do a funeral or anything, which I think under the rules, as it were, of religion at the time, I think means like you go to hell or something, because, you have to be buried properly with prayers by a priest.
They must have done
a very nice way to go.
Do you think they would have done like an almost ceremonial one when the monarchy was reinstated, like, because it was only like what was it 15 years later?
And then Charles II, his son, became king. That's a good point. I didn't think to check that, because of course Oliver Cromwell, when Charles II became king, the first thing he did was dig out Oliver Cromwell's body from Westminster Abbey and then I think he hang, draw and quartered it or something.
Just
he
body.
Executed him post-death, and his head is apparently buried under a college in Cambridge. So, yeah, there you go. That's my little fact. What's yours, Alex?
Well, very different. But speaking of, like, heads and brain matter, kind of. Very tenuous link there. I learned of the one only known case of brain vitrification. And this happened when Mount Vesuvius erupted in 79 AD. And the actual, what it is, brain vitrification, was when the volcano erupted, this young man's brain was melted and then rapidly cooled by a superheated ash cloud, which turned the brain tissue into glass, natural glass, and thus preserving its microscopic neuron structure. And this is the only example of this ever having been discovered. But this was found in 19 man's remains was discovered in 1961, and it was in 2020 researchers confirmed parts of his brain had been turned into glass. How
extreme heat and then cooling.
Yeah, basically. I don't know where I don't know enough about volcanoes to know how, what's the cooling bit of that? It was like superheated ash cloud. How does that cool?
Yeah, I don't know.
The wind or something? I don't know.
Yeah. It's crazy. That, Alex, that fact is mind-blowing.
Hey.
Nice. Very it nice works on two levels because you blow glass to make pretty shapes, and his brain was glass. So, yeah, there you go. But genuinely, that is absolutely fascinating. And I don't even understand. Yeah, understand how that happens.
Did his bullies call him stupid glass head or ash cloud glass man?
I mean, they were probably dead by that point.
But in fairness, that'd be kind of kicking someone when they're down. Literally.
Well, it's not
as the skeleton was on the floor. So.
It is along the same lines of digging someone up and hang, drawn, and quartering
them
after they're dead.
That was a fair point. Yeah.
Yeah.
Surviving relatives of his bullies were like, I'm going to continue the tradition and bully this guy. There's a part of me, a disrespectful part of me, that really wants to know if the scientists have tested the quality of the glass in his brain. Like, how does it compare to, you know,
water for crystal?
Yeah, exactly.
But also, what's the like glass? You can melt and then re-blow. Could you make like a glass ornament out of this man's
brain?
We're
not gonna make.
Now there is a niche market. Sell those things for a very pretty penny, couldn't you?
Priceless.
Sure, you all kinds of brain. Yeah.
Middle Eastern oil barons. Like, here's a glass. Made a shot glass.
You telling me a Russian oligarch doesn't want to sip from a little tiny glass made from someone's brain?
Oh, yeah.
Now that you put it like that, I'm like, the oligarch's probably like, I have 52 already. I do brain vitrification in my sleep as hobby.
Yeah. You want glass? I put brain in microwave. We'll sort this.
Where do you think all political prisoners go to?
That's a very good question, Martin. So when the skeleton was discovered in 1961, what was unusual about the skeleton was the appearance of glassy black material scattered within the cranial cavity. So it's black glass. So it even looks cool as well.
Yeah, yeah, I didn't know that was an option.
Can we get it in this colorway?
So there you go. Fellas, before we move on to the main topic, I believe we owe a debt of gratitude to some very special people who have been keeping the lights on whilst we've been off air.
Oh my gosh, yes.
And that is the Patreon supporters. So we want to give an extra special thank you to you guys. Robin, would you like to do the honours with your amazing voice?
Thank you, Alex. That's very kind of you to say. And I would love to do the honours because these people are amazing. And they are Scott Joel, Amy Licious, Cindy Hafner, Rashad Najjar, Caleb Wilkerson, Kurt Jones, John Baker, Janie, Henny Ruffle, Emmett Tapia, Ahmad, Peaseward, Josh Tromatek, A Filthy Casual, and Simon Workman.
Oh, amazing. Absolutely. Beautiful people, one and all. And rest assured, we are going to be doing some back-to-back Patreon-exclusive episodes. Don't know what we're going to be discussing yet, but rest assured.
Yeah, we don't plan that far ahead, do we? No.
That's a good question. We should get some polls going for our members and our Patreon supporters about what they would like us to to talk about.
100%. Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, I think there's definitely room for us to talk about, you know, it's a variety of different topics that maybe we haven't spoken about before. I think history would be quite good. Mm. We'd dive into some more history, some more bizarre history, perhaps.
Okay.
Conspiracies. Yeah. I mean, on the main channel as well, like, we should think about, you know, what are the new conspiracies for 2025? It's been a few months. I'm sure there's plenty.
That's true. There's always new.
They seem... It's always new fear. I mean, I don't know about you guys, though, but they seem less fun for the most part now. Like, they seemed more fun back in the day. More fun, silly ones.
I think, in a weird way, they've become more mainstream. And
I think that's it, yeah.
Now it's all, yeah, it's dominated by politics, like serious politics. So there's always a very dark, unpleasant angle to it. There's none of the fun stuff going on. And those stupid UFOs are keeping their distance. So just no fun.
But like, we've had some crazy good UFO sightings, but now it's almost like tinged with an undercurrent of like, oh, they're only releasing this to cover up. Like this is a distraction. It's a distraction, basically.
Mm.
Which is sad. Yeah. But I like that idea of maybe looking into some of the more modern ones in 2025. But like,
and also, spooky season, we could definitely return to your ghost stories.
Yes.
Paranormal.
A request. A plea for your personal paranormal experiences. Yes. Yes,
that's
Martin.
Always fun. That's keep always fun.
Pumpkins coming.
Yeah, absolutely. If you want, you can write it in the comments down below, or you can email us at contactjustinteresting @gmail.com. And if you
don't forget that part. Contact just interesting.
Yeah.
At whatever.
Or you can message us directly at jinterestingyt over on Twitter or X. And
or comment below.
Yeah,
on
so there's plenty of ways of getting in touch, and we would love to read your stories out. Hopefully on a live Halloween episode, because that's always fun. But yes, no, big plans ahead. Sounds great, you guys. Shall we discuss the main topic?
Yes.
What, Jeff? Jeff?
Jeff, as in Jeff.
Jeff. Yeah.
So, fellas, of course, we all know who Jeffrey Epstein is by this point, but in case anyone is living under a rock, let me just give a brief overview. Jeffrey Epstein was an American financier and convicted sex offender who became widely known for his connections to many powerful figures and for running criminal sex trafficking networks involving underage girls. And he's been tied to world leaders all around the world, from Bill Clinton, Tony Blair, as of a couple of days ago, but I mean, that was just a brief meeting, apparently. But definitely the UK ambassador to the US as of a few months ago, Peter Mandelson. Donald Trump obviously has a connection, even though people might not want to admit it, but he definitely absolutely does. Bill Gates is obviously thrown around as a name a lot. Who else? Anybody?
Well, there's a few filmmakers, aren't there? Prominent filmmakers he's piled around. And that's the wonderful ambiguity of this thing and why it's always worth discussing, because there's all the famous people that the rich and famous hang around with. And then there's the ones who, were they up to more with Jeffrey Epstein? Were they more involved? Hence the whole subject of the Epstein files and the relevance of them, which is, what do they contain? And more importantly, why won't the US government, led by somebody who's definitely got close connections to Jeffrey Epstein, not release the Epstein files? Do the files reveal anything? But I guess we already have some revelations recently, don't we? Because they've published some stuff from the grand jury investigation, which is just interviews with people, particularly his victims, isn't it? So they actually don't tell us much, and they don't tell us anything that wasn't already public domain, but the release of the files has renewed interest in those. And in particular, there's this, that's a good question, actually. I can't remember how it was released, but this birthday folder.
Birthday book, yeah.
Birthday book, that's which is the great, real news from this year, isn't it? That was rumored first, reported by, I want to say the New York Times, but it could have been the Washington Post, saying that Donald Trump was one of the many people who contributed pretty salacious and weird notes to Jeffrey Epstein in this birthday book that was prepared by Ghislaine Maxwell, his partner in crime. I'm going to say it. Yeah, partner in crime. She's convicted and in jail at the moment, isn't she, for her involvement with him. So she went around soliciting all kinds of friends, in inverted commas, of Epstein to contribute to this birthday book. And what's interesting to me is, so far, what we've seen, what's been reported anyway, from the contributors to that book, it's just all so weird. Yeah. It's just like,
yeah.
I mean,
did any of them just write "Happy Birthday, Jeff"?
No, no. I mean, sure. So true. I mean, the Donald Trump, the what he allegedly wrote. I mean, this was what the. Was it the...
Just to provide a bit of context, this was the U.S. House
Oversight
Committee released this.
Yeah, some very strange things that were written around. I mean, they released the birthday book, blah, 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 blah. And this is what... Should we go through what he allegedly wrote? I mean, do you want to take one half of this and I'll take the other? So you can pretend to be Donald
Trump? Not particularly.
You pretend to be Donald Trump? Or Donald
Trump? You go for it, Martin.
Okay. Paint the picture, Martin, for our voice people. Voice people, our listeners. What is this card written on?
It's written on a bust of a woman's bust, right? And a drawing of a woman's bust that looks like it's written by drawn by like a 5-year-old.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, can we even say that it's a woman's bust? Because honestly, like that, it looks so badly drawn. Can we even say that?
I think it's meant to be that, right? Pretty obviously.
Yeah.
So the top line is, there must be more to life than having everything. Donald says, yes, there is, but I won't tell you what it is. Jeffrey says, nor will I, since I know what it is. Donald then says, we have certain things in common, Jeffrey. Jeffrey says, yes, we do, come to think of it. Donald then says, enigmas never age. Have you noticed that? Jeffrey says, as a matter of fact, it was clear to me the last time I saw you. And Donald finishes with, a pal is a wonderful thing. Happy birthday. And may every day be another wonderful secret.
So creepy.
It's weird.
I mean, that's a perfectly normal message to be sending to a convicted paedophile. That's just a normal, very normal thing, right?
Yeah, that's exactly how I write every birthday greeting to my friends. It's mad. I mean, but the thing is, the Lord Mandelson, well, he's currently still Lord Mandelson at the time of recording. We'll see how long that lasts. The former British ambassador to the US, to President Trump's administration. I don't know if you saw the excerpts of what he wrote, but it's even worse. There's an allusion to special friends, in inverted commas, hanging around with them, with Epstein, and like a picture, he included photographs of him in his bathrobe, like on Epstein's balcony. It's just really, really bizarre, and definitely leaning into the whole, with hindsight, sex crimes were happening here. But what's interesting there is that there's been no accusations at all that I'm aware of that Mandelson was involved in any way with anything that Epstein did that criminal. Even though the things he writes in this birthday message are so weird and dodgy, which suggests that there's kind of two layers at least of activities going on, which is sometimes Epstein was just hanging around with possibly sex workers, perfectly legally, I'm going to say. And then there was the sex trafficking and the child abuse going on at the same time. So it makes you wonder if that's what's going on in the Epstein files, and that's where the desire to cover things up comes from, that there is provable connections between key figures, and as you already described, there are some very key figures, literal world leaders, in Epstein's past, doing things that would be perfectly legal under most circumstances, but wouldn't be acceptable, particularly in the world of politics, but even in the world of personal relationships. Most of these people are married men with families.
Yeah.
So it could be just like so embarrassing and still gross, but not necessarily illegal. And that's the reason things are getting covered up. But then, if I may redirect the conversation a little bit, because I think as of today, new revelations keep coming up, such as Prince Andrew's email to Jeffrey Epstein in 2011. After that infamous photograph of Prince Andrew and at Epstein's with Virginia Jeffrey. I'm terrible with these names.
Jeffrey,
yeah. As an aside, just very briefly, and at the risk of being a bit disrespectful, this has got to be the story, the history story with the most names that are just completely unpronounceable. Because even Epstein, like, as a British person, I'm like, oh yeah, he's Epstein, but he's actually Epstein. And then you've got Ghislaine Maxwell and Virginia Jeffrey. And anyway, that photograph of her with Prince Andrew, there's now been an email uncovered where after the release of that, Prince Andrew emailed Jeffrey Epstein and said, we're in this together, you know, hold strong, mate, we'll see this through. At a time when Andrew insisted that he'd severed all ties with Epstein, and because at that point, Epstein was already a convicted criminal, or at least confessed criminal in a noughties case. But that was controversially hushed up by the Justice Department as part of the plea deal. So there's, every day it feels like there's something new coming out. And even if it's something relatively innocuous as just a supportive email from one friend to another, it's the context, right, of who these people are and what Jeffrey Epstein did that just makes it completely unacceptable and outrageous. And you just think, where else can it go? Because I don't know, I feel like it just digs deeper and deeper and deeper. Every time something new comes out, it gets worse.
Just for context, the full message that Andrew sent him was, I'm just as concerned for you. Don't worry about me. It would seem we are in this together and we'll have to rise above it. Otherwise, keep in close touch and we'll play some more soon.
Oh.
Could be talking about tennis or something else. I don't
know. Could be. Yeah, with the context we now know, it just all sounds incriminating, doesn't it? Whether it's supposed to be or not. But then, yeah, I don't know. Do people write like that? Do people correspond like that? It's an odd way of communicating. Yeah, secret.
Yeah.
Very secretive.
Yeah, it's so coded, cryptic, isn't it? Everything they say, yeah. And of course, other news this year, development, of course, is poor Virginia Jeffrey herself passed away.
Yeah.
Some people claim under mysterious circumstances, but if there is an official verdict. And that's obviously a huge tragedy because in a way there's still so much that's unresolved. Yeah. If you thought this was settled in 2016, was it, when Epstein died? It's not. It's exploding.
Yeah.
So for me, there's two questions. One which is the main question we're trying to answer, which is, will the files ever get released? And then the kind of related question, which doesn't matter whether they get released or not, do you think this whole thing has the potential to kind of bring down not just potentially President Trump, but maybe even kind of Western democracy, given all the people that Epstein was connected to, all the world leaders of the Western world that he was hanging around with and having on his private jet and whatever? Do you think it might just be the trigger that collapses the entire system?
Based on everything that's happened over the past like decade with Trump, like, I mean, I just feel like there isn't, I think that there was a, in the period where we were off, there was a poll that came out that said that even if incontrovertible proof linked Donald Trump to Jeffrey Epstein, like even if it was found that he was, you know, engaged in criminal activities with Jeffrey Epstein, I think it was something like 45% of Republicans would still stick by him. So like, I don't, and that's even just the ones that would admit it. That's like, do you know what I mean? Like, that's not even including the ones who are just pretending that they wouldn't. So no, in all honesty, I don't think that there is anything that could possibly come out that would cause the downfall of Donald Trump at this point. And I think he would just, he would lay the blame on someone else, and that would be that. Yeah, possibly. But I mean, who knows? Who knows now, nowadays?
Yeah, it would be the leftist democratic mainstream media trying to drag me down.
Yeah. And handily for him, I think anything that did come out, he could just say, oh, it's AI. It's AI now, you know. Because, I mean, he's not wrong in terms of, like, AI is so good that, like, it could be AI. We've got to be super careful. Yeah. With things like Sora 2, I don't know if you've seen any of I've almost been fooled by a thing. If it didn't have the watermark on, I'd be like, oh, my God. We're heading for a bad situation.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. It's pretty crazy. Yeah. What was the other question, Robin?
The second question was, do you think it could bring them down? The first question was just, do you think we'll ever see them? Do you think the files will ever come out?
Well, it's interesting that we've seen
some. A copy might. Yeah, a copy might that's redacted. That's not the real thing, right?
Oh, so you think they might actually publish it, as in the government, his government?
His government could publish it, but actually make a duplicate that is adjusted and changed to suit the narrative if he has enough support from the inner circle. I could see that happening, because that's kind of what they've tried to do already by releasing certain elements of it. They've tried to kind of take the heat off and be like, well, yeah, no, but it has been kind of published. And then, of course, when people want more, he just says, you're not supporting me, you're terrible followers, you know, to those on the Republican side. Anyone who opposes is, of course, is a traitor and an enemy of the United States. I mean, the heat's still there, and that's the thing. And I think he expected probably with the partial release of people to just back down and chill out, but it just hasn't happened, right?
No, and at the moment, it seems like the only thing that's stopping any release of, or any furore of further file repression is the government shutdown and the, what do they call it? Is it a suspension? Recess of House of Representatives.
Yep.
Who definitely are ready to vote in favor of releasing the Epstein files, which then puts them in a really difficult position. If the shutdown ends, maybe that vote will happen, and then maybe they'll release something, or more likely, I don't know, my instinct is that he'll just keep trying to refuse and repress.
Yeah.
What gets me is Trump holds all the cards, right? He's in power, and he's the one who can say release it or not. It requires, as you've said, complete disobedience from all of his lackeys for anyone to publish anything or a leak from inside. The leak hasn't happened yet, which says to me that they have control of the information, because that leak hasn't happened. So then the question is, why don't they just burn the files? You know, by the time it gets round to a vote happening in Congress that might bring enough public pressure to bear that would persuade Trump to publish even a heavily redacted version of the files, by the time that happens, there's been oodles of opportunity to just destroy the evidence. And the only people that would suffer any consequences from that are the people in power who decide who gets prosecuted by the government. So they're safe, right? The only thing that makes them liable, sorry, for kind of criminal prosecution would be the Democrats taking over, which presumes that we'd have another election in the near future, and that the Democrats would win it, and then the Democrats would be willing to turn on Trump and do what could definitely be spun as, but probably technically would count as, you know, politically motivated persecutions of the administration, even if those persecutions are completely justified. That's what it would be. And I feel like if the Democrats were to be successful enough to be able to hold an election that they would then win, I don't know if they have the strength to say, let's go after the bad guys and let's make sure this never happens again.
No.
I think they probably would just say, let's all be nice and
brush us under the rug. And hey, America's great. Yeah. The good guys won in the end.
We've got to rise above it, folks. Yeah.
Yeah. 100%. Yeah. If they didn't get people after World War II.
Of course, I haven't mentioned the fact, and I should, that we highly, like Bill Clinton, suspect that there's some senior Democrats who still have some sway, who are connected. If, and maybe even, it might not be politicians, it could just be donors, big Democratic donors who are very pally with Epstein, who might be implicated in some way or embarrassed in some way, and they might bring enough pressure to keep everything hushed up. So
It's a good question, though. Like, yeah. why hasn't he just kind of destroyed the information? And or like, I mean, I kind of do feel like that is what is happening behind the scenes. Like, things are being shredded, but they can't just destroy this because it's a story that's not going to go away. But I think what they would want to do would be to rewrite history in their own way. It turns out, you guys, it was just the Democrats going to this island. These wacky, disgusting, radical liberals going to this island. Did you know that? Donald Trump's never even been in the same room as him. Like, there are also stories over the last few months of the feds visiting Ghislaine Maxwell in prison and over interviewing her for several hours. And then I think it came out a couple of days later where she said, oh, yeah, Donald Trump never had any involvement with Jeffrey Epstein. It's like,
what are the chances of that?
And then a few days later, they were talking about maybe issuing a pardon for her. It's like, my God, this is so happening obvious, right so in front obvious. Of your eyes.
Well, she already was moved, wasn't she, from
the low security,
comfortable prison before the interview took place, or in order for the interview to take place. And they released the transcript, didn't they? And I think the audio too. But the questions were so leading, and it was like any decent investigator would ask follow-up questions as well. But it was very much a kind of, did Trump do anything wrong? And she says, no. And he's like, okay, then I'm going to move on to the next question. It's like, come on.
Yeah.
You know, ask a bit more. And every time she said something that was even remotely interesting in terms of a criminal kind of what went on, they're not interested. The person asking the questions, I can't remember his name, but he's very, very senior. And he's kind of Trump's personal lawyer turned government DOJ lawyer. It's just crazy. It's so transparent, the whole thing. And this is another question that I can't quite figure out. Maybe you have a really interesting insight on this. It's the fact that Trump isn't subtle in the way that he deals with potential scandal or things that annoy him or things that are problematic for him. But he's always successful in kind of blustering his way through and deflecting blame and just lying. Mm. But with the Epstein thing, he's handled it really badly. Like even not strongly enough denying in the election last year when he was given that interview on, was it Fox News, I think, and they said, will you release the Epstein files? And he said, oh, I'll think about it. And so why didn't he just say, no, well, yes. He said, I'll think about it, because he didn't want to commit either way. And then they said, oh, why? And he said, well, you know, there may be people, maybe personalized, maybe affected in that. And it's just like, okay, but you understand that by everything you're saying right now, Trump, is setting up a problem in the future. And then
a problem, though? Because he won the election. Despite that, it's never really been a problem for him.
His usual tactic, though, would be to just say, yes, I'm going to release them, and then 180 on it, or just no. Yeah. Probably the former. Just say, yes, we are. Yeah.
Yeah, that's the thing that gets me. He's normally very affirmative one way or the other, and it's usually a lie. But he just blusters through, bulldozes through. But this one, he doesn't. He prevaricates. He kind of tries to dodge. And it's like, why are you trying to dodge? Why is the world's biggest liar, and you could argue greatest liar given his success, why won't he just lie about Epstein? What's the problem there? You know? Mm-hmm. It's kind of weird.
There's no bomb. Yeah.
Maybe it's because, like, he's had so many negative stories about him, and I think it just kind of washes over him at this point. Like, I think the genius of him is that he's able to actually use those as distractions as and when he needs them. So, like, maybe it's almost a case of he keeps the story almost just at arm's length of him, but never gets rid of it permanently, because anytime he wants to manipulate the stock market and make billions off of Doge or whatever, he can do that, and then bam, Epstein story. You know, maybe the Epstein thing is the distraction from all of his market manipulation under the scenes.
You flipped it. So all the other stuff that's happening isn't a distraction from Epstein. Epstein is the distraction from all the other stuff that's happening.
He's using, maybe.
Wow.
Because, I mean, it doesn't really pose a massive threat to him. Maybe that's how he sees it.
Wow, that is proper 4D chess. That is the
or maybe the I'm real giving chess him master there. Way too much credit.
I think possibly. Although I do think that some of the random ice rampings up, trying to take away from Epstein. He's like, send ICE into Portland, ICE into Chicago. And it's like, obviously going to rile people up. Then there's the reaction. It gives him an excuse to then clamp down. And all the news, the press, the articles are on that.
Mm.
As opposed to, it seems like whenever there's a little bit of heat on him, there's something to draw the attention away.
Mm.
And ICE has been a big part of that, it seems.
Yeah, well, there's also the other dimension to ICE, that there's a high probability that, and it may not be Trump's idea, but probably like Stephen Miller's idea, for example, the man behind the man, which is that all this ramping up of ICE and sending in the National Guard and talking at least about sending in the military to American cities is all about setting the stage, normalizing it, so that when it happens in later 2026, in time for the midterms, having the military on the streets isn't quite as shocking to people, or rather they think it's not related to suppressing votes in key places that might return enough Democrats to Congress to cause a problem for him. And maybe you're right. Maybe they are playing the long game in that sense, which is all they need to do is keep on top of the Epstein files, stop Congress from doing anything awkward like voting to release them, and all they have to do is do that until the end of 2026, when they win both houses more securely from the Democrats, and everybody's enthralled to Trump, and it doesn't matter. The Epstein files will never get released then, because he's got complete total control. Because even now, the shutdown, which for as much as the government shutdown in America is absolutely the Republicans' fault, it's only happened because the Democrats have enough seats to cause a problem in Congress.
Yeah.
If the Democrats had fewer seats, just by, is it eight? They've got, if they had eight fewer seats, they wouldn't be able to shut the government down. The Republicans would pass the budget bill and it would be okay. So maybe that's, maybe you're right. Maybe they're just playing that long game till the end of 2026, when he's got both houses of Congress in a, let's say, rigged election. And it's, he's home free. Epstein doesn't matter anymore.
Yeah, it will be interesting to see. I mean, yeah, because it's the Senate, isn't it? That is the reason for the current government shutdown, because I think the 47, 48 Democrats in the Senate are opposed, but they need 60 votes to pass a government budget.
Yes.
So, yeah. But I mean, the Democrats, it's been pretty successfully spun in the US media, from what I can tell, that, it's the Democrat shutdown, even though Trump controls three branches of government. But whatever. Yeah.
Oh, and he's the master negotiator, the deal maker, the guy who can broker any deal, you know.
Yeah.
But apparently not this deal.
No.
Yeah.
And then there was the whole thing, I don't know if you saw it, with Pam Bondi, with the Oversight Committee.
Oh, yeah.
And then asking her whether the FBI had found images of Trump with half-naked women. And instead of saying no, she said, I can't believe you would talk to the president and slander him in this way.
Yeah.
It's like, just say no. Just say no, we haven't. But no, she didn't refuse to say that she had found them.
Yeah.
Instead, she refused to answer, which was very, very interesting.
Yeah. And goes back to what I don't quite comprehend is, why are they handling this so badly? And particularly in the case of Pam Bondi, there are legal consequences to lying to the committee, but she runs the DOJ. So she's like, who's actually going to arrest her and take her to court? Nobody. Unless they fear somehow that they're going to lose control in the near future, which I don't know. They clearly have control. I don't understand what they're afraid of.
I mean, in fairness, maybe that is it. That's the most exciting potential answer to all of this, is that, maybe for now they are like, okay, well, we think we control this information, but if they destroy information and then that information comes to light in the future somehow, like if there were other copies of it somewhere, or like witnesses come forward or something, if there is evidence of a cover-up, then maybe that's even worse for them. So they would rather just obfuscate and, like, oh, how dare you say that about the president, as opposed to just lying and shutting it down in case the lie is what gets them in the future, you know? So maybe that they think they control the information. They hope they control the information, but maybe they, it's that not knowing if they do fully that is preventing them from shutting the story down completely. Possibly.
Yeah. That's a really interesting take. And because, of course,
maybe they're waiting for Ghislaine Maxwell to kill herself in prison. Maybe that's what they're waiting for.
Yes. Yeah. It's not the crime that gets you, it's the cover up. That's the old adage, isn't it? When it comes to conspiracies. And in this case, it's like with Nixon and the Watergate. I always have a bit of sympathy for Nixon in Watergate, in the sense that, as far as we can tell.
No, that's it. That's it. Actually, the podcast ends there. Thanks, Robin.
I should be careful how I word things, because this is how embarrassing out of context sounds.
We had a great run. We had a great run, guys. Okay, bye.
We thought we'd come back with a bang. This episode is absolutely getting cancelled. What I was going to say was I always have a teeny bit of sympathy in the sense that, as far as we can tell, with the evidence that we have, Nixon didn't know what was going on. He didn't know that the Committee to Re-elect the President was funding illegal wiretapping by the burglars who were former Secret Service operatives in the Democrat headquarters in the Watergate Hotel. He didn't know that was happening. He found out it was happening when they got arrested. And then as soon as it happened, he started trying to cover it up. And that's when it all went wrong for him, because he tried to cover it up by abusing his power as president. So I always have a bit of sympathy, because it's kind of like, it's you do something that you never intended to do that's highly wrong because somebody else messed up. Oh, I've got you some new hubcaps for your car. And it's like, oh, great. Where'd you get them from? Don't ask. You know, it's like, oh, did you steal them? Okay, I'm going to try and cover it up. I'm going to bury them in this bush over here. Policeman comes by and just like, what are you doing? Just like, oh, I'm not doing anything. It's fine. I'll pay you to stop, to turn away, look, turn a blind eye. Just spirals out of control. That's my random analogy.
Your takeaway is from Watergate is it all just got a bit out of hand.
My takeaway is Ron Burgundy. That escalated quickly. Yeah.
That really got out of hand fast.
Brick killed a guy.
I saw that.
Stabbed him in the heart.
Nice. What is it? 60% of the time, it works every time. That doesn't make sense. Yeah. Sorry, now we're quoting Anchorman.
You could do that for ages.
For the next hour. That's fine. Sorry, fellas, I derailed them off on the tangent, as I always do.
No, you didn't. You didn't, Robin. You basically just said if you were Richard Nixon, you would have done the exact same thing he did.
Exactly.
I don't know if I'd agree with that, but
that's not what I tried. That's not really what I was trying.
You said
you got the wrong message.
No. You said if someone gave you hubcaps, you would bury them in a bush, essentially doing what Richard Nixon did. And I, you know, that's on you. We can all go take that as is. And just move on from that. But I do get where you mean.
I may have dug a hole here.
honestly. I do get what you mean.
Thank you.
I think people joke, don't they? Like, if Richard Nixon was alive today and could see what was happening with the Trump administration, he'd be like, why did I get impeached?
Why did I have to resign?
It's very true. Standards have somewhat fallen.
It's shocking, isn't it, just how fast they've plummeted.
Yeah.
It's completely traceable. You can watch it happen. You can see exactly who's responsible on both sides of the pond in different nations. But yeah, I do fear, just get a bit broader for a moment, I do fear for the Western world. I think we've seen the end of Western civilization as we know it.
Oh, okay.
Numerous supposedly free governments are just collapsing. And it's just... Sayonara, suckers.
Well, there's a playbook. That's the thing, isn't
Robin,
it? And
Robin, we're wrapping
on to the playbook.
We're wrapping up the podcast. We can't end like that. That's
okay.
We gotta end on it. How do we spin this now?
The end of Western civilization, Alex. And yeah, we might see you next week if it hasn't already ended. Bye.
Bye. I don't know. I think maybe we can still bring this round. Western civilization, I mean.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah. There's still hope. It just depends on some very important, specific things going the right way.
Maybe that is an episode that we should do in the next few weeks, like a positive news day, like a happy day.
You know, that's
with
a
all
good
the
idea.
Kind of positive stories that we can find. I think that might be quite good for all of us, you know.
I like it.
But yes, interesting stories, and it's interesting to see where this goes because, I mean, it's still what was a suicide in 2016 is still a story that keeps on giving all these years later. So we shall see where these Epstein files go, if they go anywhere. But fellas, before...
In the shredder.
In the shredder, yes, probably, most likely. But fellas, before we wrap up this episode... were there any comments from the last several months that you would like to bring up?
So many. So, I mean, well, I guess firstly, just a general response, which is thank you to everybody, and there's too many for me to name, who commented and said, how are you guys doing? Where are you? Some of you kindly said, we miss you. And the truth is, we miss you all too. I've certainly missed chatting to you both and talking to the audience, and I'm so pleased that you've hung around and checked in. So thank you to everybody who sent in those lovely messages.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Martin, did you have a comment?
I mean, there's a lot of people that have missed us, and which is nice to see. Very, very humbling in a way as well, that people actually, you know, care enough to write in when we weren't around for a little bit. So again, thank you. And just to reiterate that, you know, I can only speak for myself, but I'm fired up and keen. So yeah, in the words of Jack Black in School of Rock, let's get rocking.
Timeless.
I think I could quote that film back to back, and yet I don't know when he says that. When does he say "Let's get rocking"?
It's if you have the DVD from 2004 or whenever the film was released.
Yeah.
Whenever you click on a menu item, he goes, "Let's get rocking."
Oh, okay, that's a deep cut.
So it's none of this. Quoting the actual film itself. Okay. Yeah, we're going another layer into the DVD. We're doing an iceberg video in some way.
Nice.
I'd like to respond to a couple of comments, if that's all right.
Absolutely.
From Cameron Dobby 5606 and Beth Shep 1998, who both commented on the same video, which on YouTube, which I think was our last episode. Real science that started as jokes. Was that our last episode?
It was. Yeah.
And They both said effectively the same thing. I mentioned imaginary numbers, and I tried to explain what they were and got completely the wrong end of the stick. So they both wrote in with corrections. So thank you both very much. And I'll read Beth Shep's comment because I think it summarizes it quite nicely, which is, as someone with a physics degree, I must point out that you're completely wrong on what imaginary numbers are. They're the square roots of negative numbers, and they're actually necessary to deal with quantum physics problems. Otherwise, good episode. So thank you very much, Beth. Oh. And I'm glad you tolerated the episode despite my spectacular failure to describe imaginary numbers. Maths was never my strong suit.
And that's what's great
those
about
comments.
That's what's great about the podcast. We come back with retractions very quickly. You know, we if there's a mistake, we update it, we fix it.
We soaked for months on end because of those comments.
That's the reason you haven't had any episodes.
Robin refused to do another episode until each and every commenter apologized for his error. Reality.
Dear.
Okay. I've got a comment from Microtech 5871 who says, a couple of months ago, to quote Delia, "Where are you?" I think, and then
fair play.
I think I know where Martin has been, as he's actually streaming as Aaron the Loco. The resemblance is uncanny, and I had to look this person up. And
Aaron the Loco.
If you pulled that face, Martin, if you had a cap and some glasses, I think I actually do see the resemblance there.
Oh, well,
wow!
Yeah.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah. Spitting image.
Or if you do the thumbnail face that he does in most of his recent thumbnails.
I can't see.
It's like a...
Was it like a...
Yeah. I see it. That's great. That is uncanny.
There we go. I don't know who this person is.
So you and this guy look like Daniel Radcliffe. So there you go.
the list grows. I mean, this guy doesn't look like Daniel Radcliffe. I'm not sure he looks that much like me, but there's in my bigger beardy time, I can see, yeah, there's a, you know, the facial hair especially sometimes gets a little bit more unruly.
It wasn't too long ago, was it? A couple of years ago, you had that very lush beard.
Bigger beard.
We tried to recreate you in the game. What was it called? Like Aliens?
Fire Team Elite.
Fire Team Elite. That's fun. It. Yeah, that was fun. Yeah. And we recreated you because you were absent.
Okay.
And then I think you did turn up in the end, but in the past we were waiting for you. We made a character that looked like.
Remember, I tried to play Fire Team Elite, and it didn't work for a while, and then it did.
Mm.
So yeah, I mean, I've been playing God of War Ragnarok now for about 8 months.
Really?
Still not getting through it that quickly. It's good fun though, but it's just difficult to. So I've had a little bit of time off between playing it and just getting back into the control system. There's quite a lot of layering that goes on that makes it quite difficult to just pick it back up again. But that's fun. I do like the mythology.
Mm.
Yeah, Fire Team Elite. Yeah, we should do that again.
I think I not rage quit out of that one because I really didn't like the game?
Alex's polite way of saying no thank you.
It's another one where I shut it down early because it wasn't working for some reason. Like,
and I remember maybe we did stop that. It was quite a short stream.
I didn't crash out of it. Like, we then spoke on the stream, like, we just stopped playing it. I think we just I don't know. I can't remember what went wrong with that, but yeah.
What's the top-down alien game we played?
Oh, that was the first Helldivers, wasn't it? We played Helldivers 1.
Oh, yeah.
We did, but there was another one that we... or maybe it was Helldivers.
I think we played
another alien game, did we? Okay.
No, I don't think so. I mean, I know both of you were going to do a stream of Alien Isolation, right?
Oh, yeah.
I
was thinking of that.
Yeah, you
as
said
well.
You'd do it for Halloween, so.
2024.
I could do it. I could do one.
In fact, you said you'd do a whole series of first person horror games.
Starting with
Alien Isolation.
I think you're putting words in my mouth here, Robin.
I'm pretty sure you said that.
No. This doesn't ring
a whole conversation.
Bells.
You said it was my favorite genre of video game, and I want to stream all the first-person Resident Evil games.
Robin, stop!
Amnesia, whatever the other one's called.
Soma.
All those games.
Oh, you like Soma? Soma's good. Oh, I tell you what I did watch on a plane, talking of horror games, and that was Until Dawn, the film.
Oh, gosh. Oh, how was the film?
It was fun. It was fun. It was completely ridiculous, over the top, as you'd expect. But yeah, it was a fun one. I'd recommend watching. I don't really watch horror films apart from when I'm on planes. I don't really know.
What does that tell you?
I just do. I think it passes the time quite quickly.
Something about knowing that if something you can't escape from the screen.
Like, yes, I think that's part of it.
You can't run away from it. It's that.
You can't run away from it. It goes quite quickly because you're so engrossed and engaged. I think that's part of it too.
Traumatize the child sitting next to you as well. So
I mean, I looked behind me and luckily there wasn't, but yeah, it was very gruesome actually. Yeah. Fun though.
Nice. Nice. Oh, that's amazing. I did not know that about you, Martin. That's really fun. Yeah.
Yeah. Only on planes. Although I do like watching Alien. So the new Alien series, I don't know, you know, maybe we can take this.
I can't wait to see it, yeah.
Yeah, you haven't seen it yet. Yeah, that should be good.
No.
Yeah. I haven't. I've seen bits of it because of my work, but yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
That sounds more exciting.
Has it been reviewed
than
well?
Yeah, I think it's got really
well
good
reviews.
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
I was a bit suspicious, though. But I know we're about to wrap up, but that's the kind of thing where the reviews came out and they were really, really positive. And I thought, oh, great. And then they all say, episode reviewed, 2 out of 8. I'm like, yeah. I was a bit suspicious when studios do that. It's like, you can review the first 2 episodes, but no more after that.
Yeah.
Yes, of course.
Well, we're doing our... it's kind of become like an annual tradition now. I've probably spoken about it on the podcast, but we do like a trick or treat film bowl. So that's a good idea.
Oh, yes.
Your roulette. Yeah.
So we did last weekend. We watched Hocus Pocus, Shaun of the Dead.
I watched that last week.
and then Silence of the Lambs. So a great eclectic mix.
Good selection.
That is a great mix. Yeah.
See, I watched Silence of the Lambs recently, just the other week, whilst washing up, just because I love that film. I didn't even watch it. I just had it on. I was listening to it because it's just so well written and so well acted. Mm. And I know it so well. I was like, I can see it in my head. Great film. Great film. Yeah. I need to watch Hocus Pocus 2.
Yes.
Well, you said you watched Hocus Pocus last week, Martin.
Mm.
When was the last time you'd seen it, Hocus Pocus?
Oh, I don't think I've seen it all the way through before.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah, I'd only seen it like since I was a kid. Hadn't seen it since I was a kid. I don't remember the boy in it, the teenage kid, being as annoying as he was. Like he was the worst in it. Like every opportunity to mess something up, and he messed it up. You know?
Yeah, I'd say so.
Almost
yeah,
no likable things about him.
No redeeming features.
No redeeming features. That's all I have to say.
Yeah. Fair enough. Fair enough.
Yeah.
We're getting into that season properly, aren't we? So.
Yeah. Indeed.
Time to watch some horror.
Well, fellas, it's been an absolute pleasure catching up with you. It's just been really nice. And if you are supporting us on Patreon, then keep the good times rolling because we're about to record one straight after this, I'm sure. So head on over there if you want to see some more of us catching up. And guys, I will see you next week.
Ciao. Oh, yes. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.